issues. I want to thank Guy Erickson for answering the phones this evening. Thank you to the callers for calling in. We're going to be going to Cabaret in a moment, but first this message.
As you participate in Colorado Gives Day this year, keep KGNU in mind. Give where you live. KGNU is a fabulous resource for the community. Local music, local news, features of local nonprofits throughout the year. Increase the value of every dollar you donate through a $1 million incentive fund by pledging now at coloradogives.org/KGNU.
Time is 7:01. This is KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM and 1390 AM. It's time now for the Cabaret program.
And good evening. You're tuned to the Cabaret Show here on listener-supported KGNU. My name's George, and we're going to have just throw this off and have our guests take it away. We're going to share some stories and songs about the history of Gold Hill and Boulder County.
Good evening, everyone. First of all, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is David Brigham, and I'll be your host for the next hour as we tell you the story of the Colorado Bluebirds. Now, I don't mean the actual birds, but a ladies' vacation club known as the Bluebirds that was started in 1911 and finally closed its doors in 1963. And now let's meet our cast.
Hi, my name is Maggie Sims. I moved to Gold Hill, Colorado with my parents when I was 8 years old. The story we are about to tell you has special significance to me since, as a child, I met and socialized with a few of the remaining Bluebirds living in Gold Hill in 1962. I was an only child and a little out of my element when I first moved to Gold Hill. I met an old lady who lived next door to me. She brought me into her tiny cabin, served me tea in a china cup, and began to enchant me with stories from history. Turns out she had been a history teacher, and she opened my eyes to the beauty and splendor of the Rocky Mountains. I found out years later that she had been a Bluebird and had purchased the former miner's cabin and returned to it every summer. This was a common practice among the Bluebirds, especially once their beloved Bluebird Lodge was sold. I currently live in the same house in Gold Hill that my parents purchased in 1969. I savor the history of Gold Hill, and I love to tell people its stories.
Hi, my name is Julie Excel. I'm a local teacher, actor, and playwright. I actually feel like the Bluebirds have been a part of my life for many years, because prior to the last year or so that I've been working on this project with these lovely ladies, Maggie and I worked together in the late 1980s, yes, I'm that old, to research and write a two-woman play called Bluebird, which we performed very successfully at the Bluebird Lodge with the help of musician Alan Schreiber. You know, coming from a poor family myself, I feel like I have at least a little understanding for how it must have felt for these single working women stuck in their dark and stuffy factories, classrooms, and offices in Chicago to suddenly have the amazing opportunity for an affordable retreat to the mountains of Colorado. We must remember that at that time, women generally weren't even allowed to travel alone, much less take off for a week or two for a Western adventure with other working women with whom they became close friends. Just looking at the pictures of these liberated, joyful women standing in the street in the mountain town of Gold Hill, hands on their hips, braless, beaming, gives you the sense of how much this meant to them. They found freedoms which they didn't want to relinquish when they returned to their lives in Chicago. It truly was a transforming experience, and many of them became involved in the movement to gain greater rights for women. I'm glad to be a part of bringing their story to a larger audience.
Hi, I'm Jane Shepherd. Having grown up in Boulder and then becoming a professional playwright, I was so psyched to work with Maggie and Julie, and now Becky and David, on sharing this piece of Colorado history. Right after I moved back to Boulder, I wrote a play on Boulder's history called Dude, It's Boulder. And that experience made me aware of how many juicy, rich, wonderful, absurd stories disappear from our local history, particularly where women are concerned. Mm-hmm. We didn't tend to be the ones in the past who built the buildings and the streets and the hospitals, and so they didn't get named after us. So women tended to not be as recorded in history. And the chance to excavate this extraordinary story is just incredibly exciting.
Thanks, ladies. Now let's talk about the Bluebirds. Their story is a fairy tale of sorts, and yet it is the true story of the tremendous achievements of a real-life heroine named Jean Wirt Sherwood and her vacation club for working women known as the Bluebirds.
Yeah. Since early 2016, Maggie and Julie and I have been working on a new play about the Bluebirds, which is based primarily on the Bluebird Songbook.
The Bluebird Songbook is a collection of popular songs from the teens, 20s, and 30s that were rewritten by club members to celebrate the Bluebird experience. As we ran through this collection of 17 songs, we quickly realized that becoming a Bluebird changed these women's lives forever. This transformation was echoed in the lyrics of their songs.
In incorporating the songbook into our performance, we realized that we would need a musical director.
Hi, I'm Becky Martinuk. I have lived in and around the small town of Gold Hill here in Boulder County for many years. As a musician, I have loved learning and singing these songs that the Bluebirds wrote to popular music of their time. And I would also like to thank you, Jane, for playing all of the instrumental accompaniment with us this evening. Yeah.
Thanks, Becky. My pleasure.
Amazing.
This story really begins with Mrs. Sherwood, doesn't it? Jane, tell us about Jean Sherwood.
Well, David, she was a Chicago art historian who came to Boulder as a lecturer for the Boulder Chautauqua in the early 1900s. She not only fell in love with Boulder, but she came to appreciate the power of time spent in the wilderness. And in particular, she felt that thousands of young women working tirelessly at typewriters and factories or as teachers in the schools of Chicago needed and deserved access to nature.
You see, back in the late 19th and early 20th century, women were carving new paths for themselves. One very distinctive path was that of the suffragette, recently memorialized in the movie with the same name. This organization had the sole purpose of advocating the extension of the franchise, or the right to vote in public elections, to women. The suffragettes were quite violent and felt that the best way to get their voices heard was to break windows, get arrested, and then go on hunger strikes.
Another more subtle path was that of the ladies' club movement. While women's clubs were formed to provide entertainment and education, they also served as vehicles for social change. Jean Sherwood, having finished her schooling at Oberlin College, one of the first colleges to grant undergraduate degrees to women, made her way to Chicago, where she met and married John B. Sherwood, whose company manufactured school furniture. Mrs. Sherwood became active in various women's clubs. She was concerned about the welfare of women in the workforce in Chicago and began to advocate on their behalf, establishing the Noonday Rest Club, an art discussion group for women on their lunch hours, and creating public restrooms for working women, which incredibly didn't really exist much at that time. This further encouraged employers to have more concern for the welfare of their female employees.
Thank you.
By using her influence in these women's clubs, Jean Sherwood led the way towards social change for women.
Mrs. Sherwood then started an organization known as the Holiday House. The Holiday House was designed specifically to offer working women a retreat of sorts in the beautiful Rocky Mountains of Colorado. Because women's club work was already alive and well in Boulder, and this could have been because Colorado women already had secured the right to vote in 1893, long before the rest of the nation caught up in 1920.
Incredible.
Yeah, there was a positive climate for club women all over the nation to come to Boulder, Colorado. Mrs. Sherwood purchased a city lot near Chautauqua Park in Boulder to build a vacation cottage. Ground was broken at 1215 Baseline Road,
During construction, a bluebird's nest was discovered on the construction site, and Mrs. Sherwood affectionately named her cottage after the lovely birds. In March 1911, the Bluebird Cottage was completed.
Mrs. Sherwood explained to the local papers that her retreat was for the benefit of working women who never leave the city, quote, because they cannot afford to pay the exorbitant rates asked by most so-called summer resorts, end quote. Soon, single working women from Chicago came to Colorado in droves. They hiked and they toured all over the mountains, made fast friends, and they sang. Adapting popular songs to reflect their newfound freedom, like this one, based on It's a Long Way to Tipperary.
It's a long way to Bluebird Cottage. It's a long way to go. It's a long way to Bluebird Cottage, to the sweetest place I know. It's a long, long way to Bluebird Cottage, but my heart's right there. It's a fine thing to get acquainted. It's the best time we know. All the bluebirds from the mountains are here to make things go. So let's all join together. It's a grand thing to be a bluebird, to hike and sing and swim.
It's a great thing to be a bluebird. It's the best thing I know.
It's a fine thing to be a bluebird and have the pep and go.
Go, go, go.
It's hello when we meet you.
It's a grand thing to be a bluebird, for we bluebirds know. It's a grand thing to be a bluebird, for we bluebirds know.
Pep and vim, huh? Yeah. You sure don't hear that phrase very much anymore.
Yes. Having energy was a big deal. It's important to remember that when the Bluebird Vacation Club first started, women and men were often required to work long hours for little pay and under poor working conditions.
That's right.
They were exhausted. Mm-hmm. As we researched the Bluebirds, we read about how many of the women, when they left Chicago and came out to Colorado for a vacation, would often spend their first 2 or 3 days sleeping before they could get up and enjoy the treasures that the Rockies had to offer. Jean Sherwood was quoted as saying,
"What we've been looking for, above all else, has been a place where we might come to rest in peace, a place of refuge for a little breathing space from the heart-burning, soul-racking strain of crowds and the daily grind."
By 1920, the Bluebird Cottage had become so successful that Mrs. Sherwood and her business manager, Emma Tracy, scrambled to find new housing. They started by adding numbers of tents that surrounded the cottage. Then Mrs. Sherwood's Chicago artist friend, Tilly Vanderpool, had heard that there was an old hotel for sale up in a little mining town above Boulder. So they purchased it, and in 1921, a whole new generation of women flocked to the Bluebird Lodge in Gold Hill. Here's a scene of their first arrival from a play or a script we're developing. "Dearest Father, I don't mind telling you, when we arrived at the Denver train station, a mere group of unmarried women, I felt a note of reluctance for my immediate future. We were collected by the young driver from Holiday House and bundled into a large auto bus. And as we made our way through Denver, I began to have the most dreadful misgivings about my holiday ambitions.
Honk, honk, honk.
Now, you ladies just make yourselves comfortable and we'll be up to the Bluebird Lodge in no time.
Well, thank you for fetching us from the train, Mr. Walter.
Oh, now you just call me Tim. Mrs. Sherwood always sends the car down to round up her bluebirds.
And then, Papa, the city grew thinner and civilization began to drop away, and we entered out into the Colorado Prairie. And that is when I saw them. Oh, my Lord!
Are you all right, dear?
We're not going up there.
Oh, we sure are. Behold the Rocky Mountains.
The Great Rockies, of which we've heard so much.
I've never seen a mountain like that. There's a lot of them, isn't there?
Well, that's why they call it a range, miss. Them mountains range across the plains.
And ain't they a glory, though?
Well, they're high. They're very high and portentous. Pray, Mr. Walter, will there be a road?
Oh, yes, ma'am. More or less.
Can the automobile get up there?
Oh, you bet. If we don't roll off a cliff or hit a bear.
A bear?
No. I'm just having you on. You gotta watch out for me, ma'am. I got a sense of humor and I tend to use it. You put your mind to rest, ladies. This is a touring car and she can climb as high as you go. Of course, once in a while, she overheats and makes a noise like she's fairly gonna blow you into pieces.
Oh.
Oh, but then we just stop for a bit and let her cool down, take in the view.
I imagine there isn't a place you could stop in these hills that wouldn't afford a fine view.
Oh, dear.
You look a little green about the gills, hon.
I just didn't imagine it would be so steep.
Well, it's a change. All I've seen for the last 4 years is inside the factory.
I was to be married myself.
Oh.
But he was a lunger.
A lunger?
A tuberculosis. God rest him. Now I've been secretary to Mr. J.P. Toms for nearly 6 years. It's a fine position, though the hours can be long.
Yes, teaching is much the same.
Oh, you're a teacher.
Oh, there are the classes to teach and everything to be graded, the private pupils, and of course the school to clean.
Well, that's nothing. We do 12 hours straight at the factory, sun up to sundown. Sometimes I go early just so I can get a glance of the sun before work. Yeah, there ain't anything to see once we start on the line.
I can see Water Street from the office, but that's just city, buildings, and sidewalks. One gets tired of bricks and mortar if that's all one ever sees.
Mm-hmm. Well, you sure are not seeing it now.
I've never seen so many trees in my life.
Sorry, ladies. Gets a little bumpy off the beaten path.
Is this a road?
Sure. Of the dirt kind. It'd be a little bouncy from here to Gold Hill.
Oh, that was exciting, that bump. Did you find that exciting?
I just hope I shan't part with my lunch.
What's your name, dearie?
Me? Miss Thompson. May Thompson.
Abigail Winters. How do you do?
Hello. And I'm Gertie. Well, Gertrude Findlay. But you'd better call me Huck.
Huck?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. For it seems we might meet Tom Sawyer in these woods at any time.
We are going quite high, aren't we?
Now, you just breathe deep, Miss Thompson. I spent my summers on my uncle's farm in Buffalo Grove, and whenever I had a shock, he'd just say to me, "Breathe deep, Abby. Just keep breathing deep."
Well, thank you.
Oh, I've seen a cat squashed under a carriage once. It gave me such a shock, I was ill for days. I wanted
well,
to...
Well, look there! I do believe that's a pine tree.
Well, that there's a fir tree, Miss Abigail. But we got pines aplenty up top.
It's just, I've never...
Been up so high?
No.
Been so sick?
No, been so far from the city. Not without my father or uncle or...
Some kind of escort?
Uh-huh.
Oh, neither have I, dearie.
No, neither have any of us. Ain't it strange, traveling with girls? Like a great bunch of lacy pigeons.
And we have Mr. Walter to escort us.
Yes, you do, but call me Tim.
Mr. Tim here will keep us safe.
My father thought I ought to come for the healthful air, although I wonder if he didn't hope I'd meet a fellow.
Oh, sorry, girls. I almost drove off the edge.
I may have had enough healthful air for now.
For those of you who are not familiar with Gold Hill, I'd like to share a very brief history. The town sits about 10 miles west of Boulder in a saddle between Four Mile and Left Hand Canyons. It was founded in 1859 by a small group of men among the very first wave of prospectors from the Midwest. The original town was built atop what is now known as Horsefall Hill. The area was christened Mountain District No. 1 Nebraska Territory. Many of the bylaws written there to protect miners' rights were eventually formally adopted into law. In 1860, the entire town burned to the ground and was rebuilt in its present, much more practical location. The town of Boulder, known then as Boulder City, was established as a supply and support depot for the many gold camps that sprang up after this initial discovery. Residents of Gold Hill were instrumental in the establishment of the University of Colorado, both in the legislature and with the donation of land and money. The history of Gold Hill is the classic tale of boom and bust, repeated several times over the years. During the critical period of one of these downturns, the Bluebirds' infusion of cash and energy kept the town alive when so many others disappeared forever. The Bluebird Lodge and Gold Hill Inn still stand on Main Street today as monuments to these fantastic, forward-thinking women. If you'd like to learn more about the town and its history, please visit the Gold Hill Museum's website, www.goldhillmuseum.org. Meanwhile, look, our girls are just about to arrive in town.
Oh, I just can't wait to sketch this view.
Oh, are you an artist?
That's just it. I haven't any idea. I used to sketch on my uncle's farm, hours and hours. I wasn't exactly good, but when I was drawing, it was the one thing that made me feel just right in the world.
Hmm. Well, I'm gonna sleep. Just nap and nap and nap right under the trees.
I'm gonna eat.
Oh, I'm gonna eat everything in sight.
Oh, me too. I hope we do see a bear because I'm hungry enough to eat him.
Oh, whoa, that is a big drop off.
May, look at me. Breathe.
Yep, that's quite a drop.
I cannot close my letter, Papa, without telling you this last thing. We had driven so far up into the hills that the plains below could barely be seen. Our car teetered along a winding road with drop-offs sheer enough to silence even the most garrulous girls. I sat in my seat frozen with fear despite the warm air. And all at once, we came around a bend, and I saw across the valley a mountain, silhouetted by the sun, spreading far in toward the bosom of the wilderness, and behind it another layer, rising in crags and peaks, and beyond that yet another, and beyond that a range so far I could not tell for certain where the peaks ended and the clouds began. And I could not help but say, God Almighty! For it seems to me that is exactly what it was. We have been to church every Sunday, Papa, and even to the Holy Name Cathedral, but till that moment I had never beheld a thing so beyond the hand of man. Range upon range, so vast, oceans of trees, some soaring bird sailing into the infinite. I thought, these are the true cathedrals. Let me not pray to this divinity, let me become a part of it. And since then, I feel no fear. Your loving daughter, May.
Oh, thou dear old Gold Hill, we're in love with you. All our pine trees whisper that you love us. Keep your home fires burning for friends old and new. Oh, thou dear old Gold Hill, we're in love with you. Roaming o'er the hillside when the day for a wondrous view. Chicago, we our journeys wend. Sweet thoughts round us linger of the summer flown, and we long for Gold Hill as our home, sweet home.
Bluebird Cottage and the Bluebird Lodge became a place of plain living and high thinking.
And how did they pay for all this plain living and high thinking?
Well, Mrs. Sherwood's artist friends helped by donating a few funds, but mostly it was funded by selling shares in the Holiday House Association for $10 a block. Shareholders were entitled to a room in the cottage free for 2 weeks each year for life.
Yeah.
Non-members could still pay room and board as a weekly fee.
Once they purchased the Bluebird Lodge in Gold Hill, Mrs. Sherwood again went to her friends, but she also befriended Eben G. Fine, known in Chicago and in Colorado as
Mr. Boulder.
As a Burlington Railroad spokesman, he assisted in getting the word out about this special vacation opportunity for professional women. They dubbed these supporters their boosters.
We're forever hunting boosters, peppy boosters for our club. We want to grow, we want to show that we're alive and not so slow. Talent's always hiding, we've looked everywhere. We're forever hunting boosters, peppy boosters are so
spread throughout the Depression years and later that this relatively inexpensive adventure awaited women who didn't necessarily need a 5-gallon flush, as Gertrude Jones, a teacher from Kansas, put it.
Soon the Bluebirds in Gold Hill realized they needed a larger dining hall to accommodate their guests. Sherwood hired Tim Walter, a Gold Hill jack of all trades, to begin the building. He brought in a few of his buddies, mostly former miners, who accomplished the task in the summer of 1926. It was the Bluebird's Dining Hall that eventually became the Gold Hill Inn.
I know this story. When Mrs. Sherwood asked Tim Walter to build her a dining hall, Tim went to an old German man who lived in town known as Old Man Hammond. Evidently, Hammond knew a lot about building, but wasn't as spry as he needed to be to build a large log building. So he sat in his rocking chair in the middle of Main Street and supervised Tim and his buddies as they built the rambling log structure.
Apparently, Tim liked the building trade so much that he ended up building another 5 or 6 houses in Gold Hill, including the St. James Chapel, current home of the Gold Hill Museum.
Tim Walter was also the Bluebird's driver. Carolyn Weaver, a local miner's wife, married to Joe Weaver, was their cook. It has long been established that the influx of these women from Chicago and eventually other area states like Oklahoma, Texas, Nebraska, and Wisconsin essentially kept Gold Hill from becoming just another Colorado ghost town.
Many of the miners had abandoned their cabins, and some of the ladies purchased them for permanent summer housing. And there, too, they put the locals to work rebuilding.
Tim Walter was busy running the Bluebirds up and down the mountain, picking up supplies and introducing them to area vistas and road trips.
Now that you've told us a bit about the Bluebirds, what about the local folks living in Gold Hill?
Oh, the Double M Ranch, now known as the Colorado Mountain Ranch, was owned by Florence Malloy and Mabel McClay, who happened to have been Boulder's first female taxi driver.
Ooh, you go, girl.
Yeah. The Double M then offered horseback riding and guided tours through the mountains.
Were there any hard feelings about these women coming into town and essentially taking it over?
It appears that the townsfolk were really quite receptive to this bunch of women, many of whom were teachers, lecturers, and writers, And the women, in turn, became very fond of their Gold Hill hosts, even paying full tuition for the weaver's oldest son to go to college.
In the following song, they mention Tim Walter, Miss Tracy, their business manager, and their unswerving excitement for returning to Gold Hill each summer with all of the adventure it promised.
She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be riding in Tim's bus when she comes. She'll be riding in Tim's bus when she comes. She'll be greeted by Miss Tracy. She'll be greeted by Miss Tracy. She'll be greeted by Miss Tracy when she comes. She'll be chasing Romig's cows when she comes. She'll be chasing Romig's cows when she comes. We'll be singing Welcome Bluebird. We'll be singing Welcome Bluebird. We'll be singing Welcome Bluebird when she comes.
We found numerous songs dedicated to Mrs. Sherwood. It was clear that these women's lives had been changed by this one woman's charity and selfless service to hundreds of women throughout the life of the Bluebird Vacation Club. Between the years of 1911 and 1962, when the Bluebird Lodge closed its doors, over 5,000 women flocked to Boulder and Gold Hill. They returned each summer, and in the winter too, for the rest, the enchanting views, and the clear mountain air.
These women never forgot that it was Jean Sherwood who was their benefactor, their little mother, and their champion.
Here's to you, dear Mrs. Sherwood. We greet you one and all. Was out at Bluebird Cottage, we love to hear your call. You made our dreams come true and never forgot your plea. And here's to all it means to me.
Boy, I like that one. Did the bluebirds stop coming out to Gold Hill when Mrs. Sherwood died?
Mrs. Sherwood passed away in 1938, and the Bluebird Bulletin writes of the sincere loss her bluebirds felt in her absence. However, the Bluebird Club stayed strong in Boulder until 1958. And in Gold Hill, the Bluebird Lodge closed its doors in 1962, selling the hotel and their cherished dining hall to Barb and Frank Finn. And still stands today as the Gold Hill Inn.
True, the Bluebirds are but a memory, but the legacy they left lives on. As one Bluebird wrote in 1936 about her beloved town of Gold Hill,
The winds will blow their own freshness into you, and the storms their energy, while cares will drop off like autumn leaves.
Well, there it is, folks. Short history about the Bluebirds of Colorado. We'd like to thank the Gold Hill Museum for allowing us to access over 300 letters, bulletins, pictures, and brochures found in their Bluebird collection. If those of you in Radioland are interested, you can learn more about the Bluebirds in a visit to the museum during the summer. They are closed in the winter. Or their website again is www.goldhillmuseum.org.
Additionally, we'd like to draw your attention to the current exhibit at the CU Art Museum. The name of the exhibit is Pioneers, Women Artists in Boulder, 1898 to 1950, and celebrates the little studied artistic contributions of women who were the drivers of cultural life in the first half of the 20th century in Colorado. Artists include Eve Drulo, Gwen Mew, Muriel Sybil Wool, and Virginia True. A portrait is on view at the exhibit of Mrs. Jean Sherwood.
As portrayed by Maggie Sims.
That's right. And the movie shown in the front hallway goes into great depth about Jean Sherwood's artistic influence in the art world of the Front Range. Actually, both Julie and Maggie are in this movie.
Well, that's true.
The show is curated by Kirk Ambrose, professor of art history, chair of the Department of Art and Art History, and Stephen V. Mertonis of the CU Art Museum.
Finally, we would also like to request from our listeners that if you have heard about the Bluebirds, maybe you had an aunt or an older sister or mother who knew of the Bluebirds or even visited Colorado as a part of this group, if you have access to any letters, pictures, bulletins, newspaper articles...
Steal them.
We would gratefully appreciate receiving a copy to help us fill in these Her Story gaps and holes in our story. You may contact us through KGNU, address your communication to the Bluebird Project,
care of Joanne Cole,
4700 Walnut Street, Boulder, Colorado, 80301.
And there you go.
Thanks for joining us.
Good night.
And thank you again for sharing that bit of history of Gold Hill and Boulder County. Coming up at 8 o'clock will be Cuadiente, but until then we'll have some pre-recorded music here on listener-supported KGNU, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Nederland, Colorado, and online at kgnu.org.
Oh, I'd like to find myself trapped in some desert town with you, just me and you. My long black hair waving in the driving, me waving at you, my lover, from some ancient balcony. But like a thirsty vision I see you, and you're gone. Where could you have run to? Come back, come back, come back. But you're gone, California, and it's just my fate making me blue. Why else would I see you today? But I'm not in some desert town, you're not there with me. I'm underground in NYC, the city of perpetual motion, a city that never sleeps. That's all right, I wasn't tired anyways. I was so close, getting clear, thought I had nothing to fear. You'd be on a plane and you'd be gone, and it would be done, but there are 18 million people in this town. Spend the day bumming around just to bump into you on Third Avenue. Yeah, right. And it's pale moon burning. When will I see my only one? Pale moon, burning sun. When will I see my only it's unbelievable, I think it's incredible, it's magical, it's tragic. But I know we'll meet again someday, and we'll be very far away, and I'll know you and you'll know me, and we're gonna both agree. together. We belong together. We belong together. We belong together. We belong together. 'Cause it's a pale burning sun. When will I see my only one? Pale burning sun. When will I see my only one? Yeah. Trapped in some desert town with you, just me and you, just me and you.
Here I am standing at your window again, waiting for you to say go away or come in. I'm your locked doors worst knocker, I'm your curtain's best friend. Trying hard to love you, you don't make it easy, babe. Trying hard to love you, I'm looking for an easy way. Friends ask about me, you say I can be found with cheap romance novels with their spines battered down. Oh, the heart has no bones, you say, so it won't break. But the purpose of loving is the pounding it takes. I'm trying hard to love you, you don't make it easy, babe. I'm trying hard to love you, I'm looking for an easy way. The ropes that bind me need no marks by the knots. Though they're your hair, that don't mean I'm not caught. I know the sound of the handcuffs as they scrape across the floor. But that new thing you've got, I've got no clue what it's for. I'm trying hard to love you, you don't make it easy, babe. I'm trying hard to love you, I'm looking for an easy way. Fortunes, rocks, millstones, you hang around my throat. And a brick for my window weighted down with a note. Well, I hope you find someone just as hard as you come. In this hard world, sadly, that's so easily done. I'm trying hard to love you, you don't make it easy, babe. I'm trying hard to love you, I'm looking for an easy way. I'm trying hard to love you, you don't make it easy, babe. I'm trying hard to love you, there's gotta be an easy way. Calm her down, and her bed is under.
I was an ocean, but now I am so dry. Don't look for me over the mountains are just too high. And don't look inside the bottle, for there I have come and gone. Just look over your shoulder, darling, I might be there before too long. But I've learned now to be wrong. So don't look for me tomorrow. Tomorrow is just too long. Mm-hmm. Don't look in my old letters, even diamonds turn to dust. Don't shackle me with those chains of gold, all my gold has turned to rust. All my gold has turned to rust.
When it's
from home made me fight. I had something made me feel alone, like an orphan waiting for a home. Every footstep that I take completes the circle.
now tuned into KGNU's Corriente. The time right now is 8:02. You're tuned into KGNU Boulder, 88.5 FM, KGNU Denver, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Edderlin, online at kgnu.org. My name is Danielle, and I'll be here until 10 o'clock playing Latin American music from all around the world. Every Tuesday night, a compilation of DJs and producers come together to put together a show that features modern, classic, and traditional music from Latin America. And in the background, you're listening to Cero 39 with the track Estate 2013. I have a lot of really great music coming up. I have hip-hop from Guatemala, indie rock from Argentina, some traditional cumbias, as well as some traditional bachata music. Once again, I'll be here until 10 o'clock, and definitely make sure you stay tuned because I have a lot of really great music coming up for you. Coming up, I have a track by Madre Chicha, and the track I'm going to play for you is called Prendente. You are tuned into KGNU's Corriente, and this is Madre Chicha.
Ya casi toco tu cuerpo, mis manos en movimiento.